If we don't by faith instantly lay hold of our resources in Christ and His Word, then Satan will light a fire within us which will cause us to sin.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
As I look at verses 13 to 17, I see this armor, first of all, stated generally, and that's verse 13. He says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, there are a number of things we could say about that verse, but that's not the verse I want to emphasize. Now, Paul says, I want to be a little more precise. And so, after I've stated it generally, he says in verse 13, now I want to state it specifically. And that's what he begins to do in verses 14 to 17. So, what are those specific pieces of armor? Paul says, number one, we'll need the belt of truth. Do you see verse 14? "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." We will need, number one, the belt of truth. What does it mean? I think it means two things. Number one, I believe it speaks of Scripture. And number two, it speaks of sincerity. But then secondly, Paul says, we need not only the belt of truth, but we need the breastplate of righteousness. Do you notice that in verse 14? We need the belt of truth because Satan is a liar, and we need to have the truth. We need the breastplate of righteousness because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And there's nothing which silences the accusations of Satan like righteousness. But then thirdly, he says, we need as well the boots of the gospel of peace. Do you notice that in verse 15? "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." We need the belt of truth because Satan is a liar. We need the breastplate of righteousness because Satan is an accuser. And then we need the boots of the gospel of peace because Satan is a warmonger. And he calls it, do you notice? He calls those boots the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, it's an awkward phrase. It's not easy to understand precisely what Paul has in mind there. The preparation of the gospel of peace. But I think the key is in understanding that word preparation. That word preparation, hetoimazia is the word, means two things, and I think it gives to us two insights as to Paul's meaning here. That word preparation means, number one, it means firmness. And then number two, it also means readiness. I think Paul is saying, number one, that the Christian must be firmly built upon the gospel, which brings peace into his life. I wonder if our lives are firmly built upon the gospel. I wonder if we're utterly committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was always saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. So it means, number one, that the Christian must be firmly built upon the gospel, which brings peace into his life. The very word preparation means firmness. But then it means, secondly, follow me now, it means, secondly, that the Christian must be constantly ready to share the gospel, which brings peace with all of those in his world of influence. Because that Greek word, hetoimagia, which is translated preparation, also means readiness. Constant readiness to share the gospel is a stabilizing influence in our lives. It fits us for the battle against Satan. So Christians are people who are firmly building their lives upon the gospel of peace. And they are people who are in a state of constant readiness to share that gospel with others. Number four, Paul says, you're going to need the shield of faith. You need the belt of truth because Satan is a liar. You need the breastplate of righteousness because Satan is an accuser, and righteousness silences his accusations. You need the boots of the gospel of peace because Satan is a warmonger. And then finally, he says, you're going to need the shield of faith because Satan shoots his fiery darts. And so you're going to need the shield of faith. Above all, he says in verse 16, you notice, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, literally, that is of Satan. You know, when Paul says above all, he doesn't mean that this is a more significant piece of equipment than any of the others. He doesn't mean that at all. Literally, I believe the Greek means in addition to all the rest, or in addition to that which you already have, add this above what you already have. all the other ingredients that you already have. And he's saying that this shield is an indispensable addition to protect whatever part of the anatomy might still be exposed to the enemy. You need this shield in addition, the shield of faith. Paul's word for shield, by the way, is not the word which means that small round shield which was used in close-up conflict and which covered only a very small part of the body, but rather it's that word which describes that long and oblong shield which measured approximately 2 foot in width and 4 foot in height, which covered the whole person. That's a very indispensable ingredient, he says, in withstanding the influence of the evil one. As you go back to the Roman soldier, that shield consisted of 2 layers of wood glued together, and then it was covered over first with linen and then with tough hide, and it was bound with iron both above and below, at the top and the bottom, and it was constructed in such a way on the edges of the shield that an entire line of soldiers could interlock their shields and march into the enemy like a solid wall. You know, I think there's a sense in which we're to do that spiritually. I think it speaks of the unity we should have in our hostility for Satan. I think it teaches us that with one another we should have a unanimity of peace, but with Satan we should have a unanimity of war. We should declare war universally, and we should stand shoulder to shoulder in this spiritual conflict, this battle against evil. One of the most dangerous weapons in ancient warfare was the fiery dart. Paul had all of these things in mind right out of the context of Roman warfare. He'd been exposed to these in very real-life situations. One of the most dangerous weapons in ancient warfare was the fiery dart. It was a dart, a lance, an arrow, or a spear, depending on the circumstance. It was a dart that was tipped with tow. Tow is like flax, which can be woven into linen, and it's a flammable product. It was a dart that was tipped with tow and then dipped in pitch, and this pitch-soaked tow was set alight, and the dart was thrown or fired. The Roman shield was specially designed to receive and extinguish those very dangerous incendiary missiles in warfare, those fiery darts. Paul says, take the shield of faith, whereby you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I think the devil's darts may include his mischievous accusations, which inflame our conscience with what we might call false guilt. If we're sheltered in Jesus Christ, our guilt has been dealt with. It's been removed. Our sins have been atoned for. We have a perfect standing with Jesus Christ. But you know what Satan likes to do? He likes to blind our eyes to that truth. He likes to minimize the efficacy of Christ's finished work. I believe this is one of Satan's fiery darts. Do you really believe that a Jewish carpenter, that what a Jewish carpenter did on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago is efficacious for you? Do you really believe that? Satan will whisper that in the ear of a new babe in Christ. Do you really believe that what a Jewish carpenter did on a cross, on a Roman cross some 2,000 years ago, is efficacious for you? And the answer to that question is absolutely, I believe that. Because that Jewish carpenter was the Son of God, and God the Son, and an infinite personality provides infinite efficacy in whatever he gives. There is eternal, infinite efficacy in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. We take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. The fiery darts, I believe, will include the arrows of the tongues of men. The arrows of the tongues of men, which with their blistering pain penetrate all the way to the core of our being. You ever felt it before? Those are the fiery darts of the wicked one. Our foe is not flesh and blood, but he uses flesh and blood. And his darts, which penetrate to the very core of our being with their blistering pain, would be the arrows of the tongues of gossiping men. I think Paul would have included in those fiery darts the unsought thoughts of doubt. Christians are plagued with it. Disobedience, discouragement, rebellion, lust, malice, selfishness, fear. I believe they include lies and blasphemous thoughts, hateful thoughts and burning desires for sin. All of them are intended by the enemy to burn and to destroy. So Paul says our defense against such powerful weaponry is the shield of faith. You see, Paul says the Christian cannot stop Satan from throwing his darts, but he can stop those darts from lighting a fire in himself. He can quench them. The shield of faith is quite capable of quenching those fiery darts. And to quench means to extinguish the flame. In fact, it's the Greek word from which we get our English word asbestos. It's the Greek word from which we get our English word asbestos. Asbestos resists and retards the flame. The shield of faith is able to do that. What is the shield of faith? I think when Paul speaks of the shield of faith, he means very simply that at the moment of attack, when the fiery darts, the false accusations, the blasphemous thoughts, whatever they happen to be, at the moment of attack, faith, dependence upon God, faith lays hold of the promises of God and it lays hold of the power of God. It is the promises of God revealed in Scripture which conquer Satan's false accusations. And it is the power of God which comes to us through the imparted ministry and the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God which conquers Satan's subtle temptations. At the moment of attack, instantaneously, and I think that's critical, if we don't by faith instantly lay hold of our resources in Christ and His Word, His promises and His power, then Satan will light a fire. That's what those fiery darts are designed to do. Light a fire within us which will cause us to sin, to disobey the Lord, to be insensitive to His moral imperatives, and in so doing, they will consume not us but our testimony and spiritually asphyxiate those in our world of influence, render them incapable of fulfilling their spiritual potential, choke out and suffocate the spiritual potential of those around us. At the moment, those fiery darts come our way, and we know when they come. Those doubts and accusations that Satan sends into the mind and into the heart, when they come, at that moment, faith lays hold of the promises of God and talks back to the evil one. And faith lays hold of the power of God and conquers the influence of the evil one. So Paul has said two things, basically. Generally, Paul has said, take unto you all God's armor, all of it, so that you can stand against Satan's wiles even in the evil day. And more precisely, he says, that will mean that you will need four things. That's what we've looked at. There are two more to go. More precisely, he says, that will mean that you will need four things. Number one, you will need the belt of truth. Christian, have you built your life on Scripture? And are you transparently sincere and truthful? Free of intrigue and scheming? You know one good definition of faith? Living without scheming. Have you taken to yourself the belt of truth? He says, beyond that, you'll need the breastplate of righteousness. Do you stand justified in Christ? Are you wrapped all around with the righteousness of Jesus Christ? In a word, have you been saved? And beyond that, do you live righteously in terms of your character and your conduct? If so, Paul says, you are impregnable. If not, you are indefensible. You're openly accessible in the vital areas to the evil one. And then he says, number three, you will need the boots of the gospel of peace. Are you firmly built upon the gospel, which brings peace? Finally, he says, you will need the shield of faith. Do you discipline yourself to instantaneously, the moment you sense that fiery dart, do you discipline yourself to instantaneously, by faith, lay hold of God's power and God's promises when Satan's incendiary missiles come into your life? Or do you allow them to light their fire and work their devastation? Paul says, hey, listen, put on the armor. Take up the weapons and go to war with the powers of evil.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.